important, the American Fur Company. And the two big fur companies are the American Fur Company and the Northwest Fur Company. His fur post on it, I know it is kind of interesting if you ever get a chance to put it on there. Another name that keeps coming up in the history of the state that you see quite often, and you kind of think, where have I heard that name before, is Chief Justice Gilfillan. He was Chief Justice actually later, I think in the 1870s or something. He served as Chief Justice of the Supreme Court for about 10 years. He was actually appointed once, served a few months, and then rejected by the voters, but undaunted, he ran the next election and was elected. But he served for many years as the Chief Justice. There's a couple of biographies here on them. The reason why that name, you think, where have I heard that name before? Well, if you look at the citations for early Minnesota cases, you remember they always look like something like, 6 Minnesota 42 Hill 51, or something like that. That's what the citation looks like. Because on the older volumes of Minnesota reports, there were two sets of reporters. There was Minnesota reports and Gilfillan's reports. And Minnesota reports is often referred to as the officer edition, which I always thought that it was like, for officers of the court or something. Well, no, the editor was a guy named Mr. Officer. that's your trade. So Mr. Officer, but anyway, Gilfillan, the Chief Justice, he reported the decisions. He published the Minnesota reports for a lot of that time period. But the cases are all in the same volume as Mr. Officer's edition, but sometimes the page numbers are different. So that's why, and where have I heard that name Gilfillan before? They were saying these older cases. That's what the Gil in the site is. He was, like many early figures back in those days, he was an immigrant. He had come, he was born in Scotland in 1829, came to Minnesota in 1857, so right before statehood, and he served on the, for about 10 years starting in 1869 as the Chief Justice. But while serving as judge, he also edited the Minnesota reports again. So usually the line you pull down to the library more often than not is the Gill edition that you get. Another name over in his county, Alexander Ramsey. Again, all these early figures, they all got counties named after them. Alexander Ramsey was the first governor of the territory. So again, he was appointed because of his loyalties to the Whig Party. But unlike many territorial officials out on the frontier who make the fortune and then go back east, he obviously stuck around. And his house, of course, you can still visit from the Historical Society. He was the first governor of the territory. He was a Whig, but again, the politics of the day was very contentious, when you look at this, because, when you have two constitutional conventions, what would CNN and Fox do with that? That would be interesting. So it's all happened before. But despite all that contentiousness, he started out as a Whig and later became a Republican after the Whig Party collapsed. It looks like about half the Whigs went to the Democrats and half went to the Republicans. They kind of owned both parties. But Ramsey became a Republican. But Sibley, I think it's safe to say, was the leading Democrat in the state in those days. But despite the political differences, and despite the fact that they were sitting in two opposite constitutional conventions, there was, a great deal of friendship and respect between the two men. When Ramsey first came to the territory, the only contact he really knew was Sibley, who had earlier served as a territorial delegate. So he took the steamboat to Mendota, or, well, again, it was still called St. Peters at the time. He took the steamboat there, and he was received warmly by Sibley, and he made the last leg of his trip in a birch bark canoe piloted by Sibley. And there was a continuing respect and friendship between the two men. I've already told you about the saga of Chief Justices Goodrich and Fuller. The other Chief Justices, Gaynor and Welch, there's no Gaynor County, there's no Welch County, so after they served their terms, they probably couldn't stand the mosquitoes, and they headed back east. I guess the final figure, in some of these associate justices here, they sound a little bit more familiar. Meeker, Sherburne, and Lando. We're getting pretty close to our time here, so I won't talk about them. But there are some little biographical vignettes here that you might want to look at. And incidentally, I do have these materials online, so if you want to look at these rather than typing in all those URLs, that might be a little bit easier. So I guess the last person I'll talk about is Henry Rice. He was also a fur trader. Remember, he ran against Sibley in the selection for the territory of Wisconsin territory. He ran for governor of the state several years, probably about 10 years into the state election, but was not elected. But he had served as one of the first two senators from the state of Minnesota. So he was, and he came originally from Vermont. Like Sibley, he found his way to Michigan, lived in Detroit for many years, and then like Sibley, he moved out here on the frontier as a fur trader. Both of them with the American Fur Company. Around that time, in the 1840s, the American Fur Company went bankrupt and kind of split up. So that's kind of how the rivalry came between Rice and Sibley. They were kind of working for someone, even though they originally had been working for the same company, they began working for competing outfits. So he served, and again, he was, I think, very well respected by the Native Americans, as was Sibley, and traded honorably and fairly with them. He had different political interests, regional interests. He was kind of more up here in the Rogue River area as opposed to Mendota at that time. But he served as a Senate, and your final trivia of the day was he is Minnesota's representative in Statuary Hall in the U.S. Capitol. So if you ever go to the U.S. Capitol, look at those 50 statues, one from each state, Rice is our representative. And he remained in Minnesota because of his respect with the Indians. He negotiated many of the Indian treaties, and he stayed here most of his life. He died in Texas, but just on a visit, he stayed here for the rest of his life. Again, unlike many of the territorial officials. Well, I will make a final pause for questions. Our time is about up, so I thank you all for coming for the live presentation today. The creditor is not in this room, there's no reason to believe it will not be. When you get home today, if you attended the full session, you can just click on that, and then you will get the credit as soon as it's approved, probably within a couple of weeks. And here's the event code, or you can just search for it there. So, well, thank you all for coming. I appreciate it. And I do have some evaluation forms there, just because that's what is done at COPC.